Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, good morning, good afternoon for those of you who are calling in later in the day from the East Coast. And welcome to Monday, and this is Women Leading the Way Radio. I'm your host, Cecile B. Real, and I'm just so glad that you've called in. We have another exciting show this morning for you, and I want to say good morning to two people who are going to be talking today. Judy Enns, who's the Executive VP with HR Division of Eastridge Workforce Solutions, and Rebecca Smith, who is a senior recruiter for Eastridge Workforce Solutions. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Cecile.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to have you with us. And for those of you who have called in, our show title today is Community Engagement as a Powerful HR Initiative. And I'm really excited about my guest today and this particular topic. And it's one you can always take notes for if you'd like, for those of you calling in. And kind of the general description I put with this was that when HR professionals collaborate with the community in relevant and creative ways, their companies can be more successful at attracting candidates and developing employees. So my first question this morning is, it seems that the definition of employers has changed, and I don't know if it's changed just in California or whether it's changed all over, but can one of you tell me, what is the new definition of employers, and what has changed?
Well, I think in some respects, the concept of an employer as a community of stakeholders and a community of partnerships and alliances gives employer a slightly new definition. Employers are understanding, and particularly HR professionals are too, that to be able to attract the best and the brightest talent to their organization, they've got to think beyond the boundaries of their own company and think in terms of connections and relationships with alliance partners, community organizations, past employees, of course, all future employees, and all of the relationships that employees bring to an organization that extend beyond the boundaries of the company. So if that's one way of slightly changing a definition of an employer, I think it is turning company into community of aligned, like-minded stakeholders, partners, suppliers, vendors, service providers, customers, all in the interests of the core business of the organization.
Very cool. And Cecile, to add to that, that's a really great sort of overarching perspective. I'll sort of add in a sense, too, as we work with a lot of the millennial generation employees, they are definitely looking for more than just a paycheck. They are not looking for a transactional type of interaction with their employers. I'm working with two young CEOs in San Diego right now, and they say that their companies are not for profit, their companies are for purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely what we're seeing as a new definition of employment in our world today.
One of the themes that we have landed on recently is coming from a new book called The Purpose Economy, and it echoes Rebecca's illustration of two companies that are adopting this theme. We've moved through an industrial economy, or agrarian economy first, of course, the industrial economy, the information age economy, and this author, Aaron Hurst, posits that we're now in the purpose economy, where a company's purpose, as it is aligned with individuals' core values and purposes, has the greatest chance of success. And as Rebecca has said, millennials are trading conventional career paths for all other types of employment arrangements, startups, freelancing, stepping off for a time to do nonprofit or learning, and focused on far more on purpose, sometimes even more than profit.
And what was the name of the book and the author?
The Purpose Economy by Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Hurst, H-U-R-S-T.
Okay, so that is available if our listeners might want to follow up with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. And, you know, you mentioned millennials, and, you know, we've been talking, we always talk about millennials because they're that the youngest generation that's come into the workplace. And when looking at going out, community, the employers going out and doing more things, and we'll get involved with that in a few more minutes, is this something that the millennials are embracing, that they think this is a wonderful idea, and that they may have additional opportunities? Where are they in this?
They're not just embracing it, Cecile. They're actually leading the charge. I mean, when you have a talent pool that is saying, again, I don't just want a place to earn a paycheck. I want a place where I can also learn and grow and connect. And I want a place that is going to be, you know, very involved in the community, whatever that means for the particular millennial employee, then, you know, they're leading the charge, and the market is theirs right now.
And I think when the employer is saying, follow us, that is to very, very sharp, smart people, an employer or a company is saying, follow us, come join with us, and you can be part of a cause. You can be part of something bigger. We can offer you the why for your work because we're involved in our community in significant ways.
Right. There's no doubt about that, and that's kind of leading to the next question on here about the community focus and the companies, and they're actively engaging. And what are some of the engagements that they're doing?
So Judy and I had an opportunity recently to moderate a panel of San Diego businesses, and I do want to mention these businesses by name because they are absolutely wonderful in terms of the work
they're
doing.
And I attended that.
I know you did, and highlight really one key initiative that each company is doing, and I think that'll give you a real picture then, Cecile, of what these different companies are doing. First up,
absolutely.
We had Mission Federal.
Absolutely, and would you kind of, before you start that, didn't mean to interrupt you, but would
of
you,
course.
For our listeners, kind of tell them the sizes of the companies, and they may be familiar with them already.
Of course. Mission Federal Credit Union, one of our largest credit unions here in the San Diego region, just recently sponsored a two-day art walk, and it's an awesome event that they've actually been sponsoring for years and has really expanded. And they have really linked that sense of the art education to their initiatives of not only just trying to obviously grow their membership, but really to serve their membership as well. They're finding, you know, obviously a lot of families that are in their membership base, and they just want to make sure that they are not only showing Mission Federal Credit Union as a supporter of, you know, arts and supportive culture and supportive education, but also really showing their members that Mission Federal is definitely a place where this type of really cool activity happens. Next up was a company called Underground Elephant, a leading advertising agency here in San Diego. To balance out Mission Federal Credit Union, Underground Elephant is very small, it's very new, and they had an initiative where all of the employees were involved in a Make-A-Wish Foundation project where a young boy who was very, very ill wanted to go, I believe it was salmon fishing in Alaska.
Right.
and they and right. employees that happened. And they didn't just send a check, Cecile. So here's the key element that I'll bring up with this particular engagement. They didn't just send a check. The employees got involved in actually working with the young boy and his family. One day they even decorated their entire office to look like it was, you know, sort of the place where this boy was going to go out and go salmon fishing. I have no idea how they did that, but it sounds really cool. And it was just that sense of making it really sort of fun and involving for all of their employees, and it wasn't just about writing a check. Now, granted, smaller company, so you can get all of the employees involved. I'll balance sure. that out once again with our next guest that was at this recent event, which is Qualcomm, of course, our very big telecommunications giant in our region, but they have a really cool initiative called the Think A Bit Lab, and I do encourage listeners to check out the Think A Bit Lab, THINKABIT Lab. Actually, the day that we featured this panel and talked about the Think A Bit Lab at Qualcomm was the same day as the National Geographic premiere of the Smart Cities documentary film on San Diego, and the Think A Bit Lab was prominently featured there. What the Think A Bit Lab does and what Qualcomm is able to do in this really cool initiative is not only reach out to middle school students from all over the region, but more importantly, reach out to the teachers and the administrators who are really going to, in a sense, lead the charge for getting not only STEM education, but STEAM education out there. And to have a lab at Qualcomm where all these students can come and actually work hands-on, I'm particularly excited about girls who are learning how to code and program right there on site. But here's the coolest thing, Cecile. The people who are staffing that lab at Qualcomm are employees, engineer volunteers. So Qualcomm
really?
Provides them, yes, absolutely. So Qualcomm has provided them with an on-site way to volunteer in their own company on their own site with local middle schoolers from all over San Diego County, as well as the teachers and the administrators. And what I've heard there recently, too, is now the parents are wanting to come and visit as well. So if that is not going to really raise the bar and, in a sense, really kind of build an amazing talent pipeline of not just middle school students who are interested in technology, but also I would say middle school students who wouldn't necessarily even think of Qualcomm as a future career path.
Oh.
And then, right? Very cool.
It is.
And then finally, the San Diego Padres, because of course we're in baseball season, so it was really important for me yes. to bring our Padres on board. we heard there that the HR initiative is something that just launched this year. There's a lot of light shining on the Padres right now for lots of different reasons. And at the same time, what I think was really cool is that they have launched what they're calling the Padres Volunteer Team. And it's a way for, and it's an online resource. If you get on the San Diego Padres website, it's right there in their volunteer section. It's a way for fans, families, individuals, and then in our cases, we're talking about companies, for companies to actually get online, check out an event that they might want to actually participate in, and it could be, you know, feeding with Feeding America, it could be serving at one of our homeless shelters, but it's an opportunity for you to sign up. Everything's already there. You pick the date, the time you want to go. You tell them how many employees are coming with you, for example, or how many family members are coming with you, and the Padres basically has the event all lined up, and then they send Padres players to come volunteer with you. It makes it so easy. Yeah.
Oh, that is so incredible.
Well, the threats that we're seeing are these, that community engagement coupled with corporate responsibility for companies that are serious, like the ones Rebecca just described, that those elements become defining qualities of their corporate culture. So culture is not only internal, it's external. And the culture, of course, we know is the number one talent attractor, talent connector for most people who are serious about their careers. So when companies are doing a good job of melding their community engagement, their corporate responsibility to their culture and making it an essential element, then they're the ones that are more likely to be attracting the best qualified individuals. A Modern Survey, which is a group that publishes engagement data, indicated recently in a survey data point that I saw that 57% of Gen Xers and 67% of millennials said that they important to them is working in a socially responsible company.
Right.
So when those are large portions of these groups who were surveyed who are saying this very theme of culture predicated on corporate responsibility and community engagement is what's important to them, they're going to go to companies that exhibit those qualities.
You're absolutely right. And it's interesting because I was talking to some millennials recently, and it was right after this program that was put on that we're talking about, and saying, you know, what are, as millennials, what kinds of things are important to you? And what I continually heard was, you better keep us involved. Literally, keep us involved. Do things that we're going to want to be a part of. And their whole point was, and it's up to you to keep us involved. It's up to you to make sure we're understanding the areas that we can go in. We want to be out there. We don't want to do everything inside the company. We expect you as our employers to put us out there, whether it's doing nonprofit work, whether it's doing something else, but you have to take the responsibility to get us out there, and then we will stay with your company forever.
Yeah, that's interesting. The thing I like about this whole notion of community engagement, corporate responsibility, is it has an outward focus and it has an inward focus at the same time.
Yep.
It's not about a company just doing things for the community. It is about a company's intention to create a climate and environment where people are proud of the work that the company does as their core business and are proud of the work that the company does externally too. The one thing I liked about Mission Fed's community engagement was that they leveraged their internal expertise. Financial education, for example, was a primary way in which they tried to impact the community because that's their expertise. So they take that.
Sure,
The Qualcomm Think-A-Bit was the same thing.
And you're even seeing that same leveraging happening to Cecile with the smaller companies. I know the HR director from Underground Elephant, when she spoke, you know, even as a small company,
right,
nowhere near the size of Qualcomm, what she said is they could use their technology talent and their advertising expertise to, you know, help some of the nonprofit organizations in San Diego, maybe even by doing a direct service, you know, and say maybe doing a pro bono advertising campaign for a small nonprofit organization, or maybe even having some of their leaders serve on boards and committees as well. So there's definitely an internal as well as an external angle to this.
I think that's what it
is. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Well, I like that notion of Underground Elephant offering pro bono services. That's what they can do instead of writing a check.
From
their core instead of writing a check.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's you know, often when we talk, at least in the past when we talked about engagement and all that, it wasn't really including all employees. It seemed that it was, you know, there was more of the company, those senior leaders or people that were saying, yeah, we need to engage and all these kinds of things. But engagement isn't just about one or two people. It's about the entire organization and how they're going to work together. Does that make sense?
Oh, it absolutely does. And an example for that, too, Cecile, we have lots of smaller businesses here in San Diego. And I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the businesses that we work with, their entire company shuts down during their, quote, unquote, give back afternoons. They do it twice a year. And the entire company shuts down. And they found, I mean, it was a practical reason. They found that before, when it was sort of optional, that not all of the employees were going, and then people sometimes felt guilty if they went. They felt guilty if they stayed. So what they said was, and this was from the senior leadership, they said, then we all go and we do it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's during work hours, and the company shut down.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I was working with a small company, about maybe 50 employees. And one of the things the CEO did, for one thing, they had a little putting ground, and they told employees if they wanted to go in there on breaks or lunchtime, they could go in and they could do a little putting. And but what they would do every month was they would have an all-hands meeting and invited everybody from lowest to highest to be there, and they said, okay, we're going to talk to you about the things that went on over this past month, how we've increased performance and engagement, how we've increased revenue based on everything you have done. And, I mean, they took them all the way from being someone who cleans the floor all the way up to the president. And what they would do is they said, okay, so they would say, what they did say was, we made more this month than we have, and what we want to do is we want to share this with you. So what they did was they made a wheel, like a roulette wheel, and it had money numbers on it, $10, $20, $50, $100. And what they did was they pulled somebody's name out of a hat and called them up and said, spin the wheel, and where it stops, you get that money.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I was there and I was watching this, and then the next person then would pick somebody's name and call them. And they said, for those of you who didn't win, we've set some money aside and we're going to make sure that everyone gets to be part of this company and share our revenue. I thought that was incredibly wonderful. And it was very surprising. Here's this huge wheel. I wished I worked for them at that time, practically.
Right. Right.
Because, and they were making sure that everybody got cash. They had set aside a certain amount of money. And they made sure, though, that those who didn't get a chance to do the wheel still got something in their paycheck.
And wow, nice.
Talk about engagement.
Yeah.
And they do this monthly. Whenever they go above something. And that gets everybody involved.
It sure does. And it puts some meat and, real things, real dollars behind the message.
Yes, exactly. And then they would have birthday parties every single month because there was always somebody who had a birthday, and they would include everyone. And just listening to the CEO explain what went well, what things they might employ, everyone, and they would say, what do you think? What would you think that we should do? What could we do better? And everybody I talk about engagement. I was watching them all, and everybody was giving some input. And the senior level team said, thank you for that, because we're going to make sure we do some implementation with the things that you suggested.
Yeah.
So it's, this is a small, and then they're a smaller company, but it's wonderful. Because you've got the engagement. And with the outreach of the communities, and are they achieving, besides not just your Qualcomms and underground, but are they achieving what they want when they reach out? Are they achieving for their employees? Are they achieving things themselves? What is the outcome, I guess I'm asking, with companies that they want to accomplish?
Well, I'll just make one comment to respond to that, because, Cecile, you were at this event that I've just mentioned before with these four companies.
Yes.
You may recall that it was actually Qualcomm and the director of diversity and inclusion there who said, we don't lead with the business case. We say this
That's
is
right.
The right. Remember, so even though I gave the performance metrics around, the employees actually showing now that they are better at their jobs, more productive, and all of that, she said, oh, no, we don't lead with the business case. We do it because it's the right thing to do. So
yes.
I think in that
yes.
sense, it'll be really interesting. And then, again, when you have a CEO, and sometimes it's a younger CEO who has founded a company with community engagement in the DNA, there's almost what
yes.
I'm finding is there's almost a sense that they're not measuring that because it's just so part of what they do. you know, so you could put it back to, you know, productivity, you could put it back to retention, you could put it into, you know, looking at recruitment. As Judy always says, you know, the attract and attach, and you can look at metrics around that. But I wonder if, in a sense, it just becomes kind of almost this brand awareness, especially for this millennial talent pool that just mm-hmm. knows to go to certain companies because they know that they're doing the right thing.
Yes. And go ahead.
One of the things that we tied into this whole theme and was the title of this show is there's a powerful HR initiative. And it's an HR initiative in the sense that HR has the primary responsibility, of course, along with company leaders, to be the talent advocate, to be the talent leader, to be the organizer of all of these communities. So one phrase that's coming out of this purpose economy notion is that HR is a community organizer. And HR
yes.
becomes the place, the conjunction and the nexus of the initiatives around community engagement, around culture, and around talent attraction. So HR has the kind of the central role or could have, and we're suggesting ought to move in the direction of having a central role in ensuring that culture gets predicated in community engagement, gets linked to brand awareness, gets linked to ability to attract the workforce any company wants to be hiring. And HR takes the lead in that.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we're coming to the end of our time. If our listeners want to contact you, how might they do that?
They're welcome to shoot us an email at jenns@eastridge.com.
And I would be at rsmith, R-S-M-I-T-H, also at eastridge.com.
Okay. And is there an 800 number or anything that they might call you, or do you prefer that they contact you by email?
Let me give a main number for us. That would be 619-260-2036.
Okay.
And
ladies,
we're welcome
thank
to
you.
Chat further.
Mm. Okay. But thank you so much for joining us today. And for those of you who are listening in, if you want to give them a call or go to their website at least and talk to them, please do. And before I say goodbye for today, our leading lady next week will be Bridget Ayers, and she's head geek and co-creator of Get Smart Web and Smart Workspaces. And her topic is Stop Whining and Just Write It, Writing for the Winning Business. So please consider joining us next week for Women Leading the Radio. I'm Cecile, Be Real. And I'm always the first Monday of every month, unless it's a holiday. So please enjoy your week, stay safe, and we'll talk to you next month.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.